Is there a doctor in the house?
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. How are you guys doing? I give a shit, you know? I've been having, like, you know, I decided that I'm going to start talking about myself more because I think that way we can get to know each other. And I'm also thinking about quitting group therapy. And so I'm going to start doing this, and then maybe I'll be able to quit and save $60 a week. So I'll tell you what's going on in my life, because things are like in this weird place. You know, like, I had that big show last month where I sat naked in a gallery, and that was really cool. And that felt productive. Productivity is like really key for me. But now I have nothing coming up. This is Art Fair Week, and I've been completely excluded from it, right? Completely excluded, except that I can actually go and look at art, and you know, I'm allowed in. They won't like go like, oh no, I'm not important enough for them to keep me out, is what I'm trying to tell you. So, but I, you know, it makes me feel unproductive, and that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm like doing all this stuff that is actually really important that I procrastinate about, and I'm facing myself right now. And I want you to know that we people need to value the work that feels like procrastination, okay? That's where I'm at. That's what I want to inspire everybody to do this week. Value the things that feel worthless that you need to do. Okay, that's our notes for the week. I am going to introduce you to our special, special guest today. But before we get started, I just want to make a plug to get you guys, you fucking cheap bastards, donate some money. Come on. You know, I see how much money you guys spend on alcohol and shit. So, like, for the price of, like, one big cocktail, you know, one cocktail at a nice bar, you could donate money to Radio Free Brooklyn. All you have to do is go to the website and go to RadioFreeBrooklyn/pledge and donate like $1 a month. Okay, that's so cheap. And that's like, you would get more appreciation for us from that $1 a month than you will like, you know, taking some chick out for a drink where you don't get laid after, okay? You with me on this? You with me on this, Lucia Rollo?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Lucia, come on.
I'm so low energy.
No, you're not.
No.
She's low energy. She's nervous. Is this ridiculous? How can you be nervous? Look at the asshole I just made out of myself, Lucia. Anyway, I'm going to get Lucia warmed up. So, I love Lucia. I actually know Lucia's mother.
Oh yeah.
What did I do? I gave you guys awards, right?
Yeah, you gave her a certificate for like her participation or something.
No, for doing such a good job with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here, I'll build Lucia up, and then maybe that'll help her relax. Lucia is the inventor, manager, director, founder of the Bushwick Community Dark Room, which is something that I'm not involved in because I got a D in photography in college, mostly because of my printing skills, which they wouldn't probably grade you on now. But so Lucia... Although Lucia and I enjoy each other's company, I don't think she would really want me around the dark room. You probably don't even know that about me yet, Lucia, but I am doing you a favor by not getting involved with your community dark room.
I didn't know it was possible to get a D.
Yeah, I'm really bad at certain things. Like the technology here, right, Tom? Oh, God, Tom must be so sick of me making fun of him. Tom, our station director.
Well, like,
right? No, but, you know, sometimes he listens. That's why I try and, like, make him a running joke on my show, because I love Tom, and he's going to pick on me, so I pick on him where he's defenseless in this situation. So, Lucia, you strike me as somebody. One of the qualities about you that impressed me so much is your ability to envision and engage a community. Do you think that's true about you? I mean, not just because of the Bushwick Community Darkroom, but until recently your involvement with Bushwick Open Studios, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess.
What happened to you?
I feel like I just sort of took the reins of these things, and like they kind of have a life of their own, and they've grown beyond, like, way beyond me.
But you, you're the impetus for getting it going, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But that was just where
is this self-effacement coming from?
Oh God.
Did you get enough reinforcement growing up? Your mother seems so lovely.
Oh, she's lovely now.
What happened growing up?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't want to tell us on the radio?
Radio. It was really fun. My parents got divorced when I was 8.
Mm-hmm. I probably have heard this story anyway. You know, I mean, I could go back into my psychotherapy tapes and drag it up, so might as well just tell me.
I'm sure you've heard it from many people.
No, I have not. I mean, I hear
some
good
version of it.
Let's hear it here. These people have not heard it.
Oh, well, I mean, my parents never should have gotten married, basically. They were, like, fundamentally wrong for each other, and the only thing that they did that was, like, remotely worthwhile during their marriage was, like, you know, they had 3 pretty awesome kids. Neither of whom I speak to anymore. That's a whole separate issue. And so, yeah, they got divorced when I was 8, but things were never cool. Everything was always very rocky. And then the divorce took 5 years, and then I went off to boarding school. So, yeah.
How old were you when you went to boarding school?
14. Or maybe 15. I don't
Where know. Did you? Crazy. You wanted to go, right?
Yeah.
You asked to go. Am I remembering that correctly?
Oh, yeah. No.
Why? You couldn't deal with your family or...
Yeah, I mean, there were like reasons like that, and then there were also like purely practical reasons. The public school in the city that I grew up in.
What city?
Cambridge, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So it's Cambridge Trinity Latin. It was going through a period. I think it's gotten better now, but it was going through a very low period of like restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
And so the academic quality was just like incredibly, incredibly poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fortunate enough to have a grandmother who was willing to help out with paying tuition for private school. And so then I started looking at private schools in the Boston area. And like I was always sort of like an artsy kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sort of looking at like the couple of like day schools that were like artsy-ish in the Boston area. But I didn't really want to go to any of them because one I had gone to as a very small child and mm-hmm. the other one my sister went to.
But was boarding school like away from your family?
A little bit. But once I started looking past like those 2 day schools in the immediate Boston area, I automatically started looking at schools that had the boarding option. So once I started looking at schools that had the boarding option, then I just started looking at like once it became a consideration, it was just like, well, why don't
So I are you the oldest?
No.
Where are you in the birth order?
I'm in the middle.
I was thinking maybe you were the oldest because you're the organizer of the group of groups.
Oh, no, no.
But how did your family react when it was like your choice to get out of there? How'd your mom?
They were actually very supportive.
How about your siblings?
I don't remember them like caring at all.
So how were you and your siblings growing up?
I feel like we were relatively normal. We kind of operated as a unit, but we had our differences.
Because you don't talk to them now.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I mean, it's kind of a bummer.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal that, you know, you must have had a falling out with them.
Yeah.
So can we ask you about that? A little bit.
We basically like came to I don't know, fundamental disagreements about the character of our father, shall we say?
And what was your I'm on your side, like, so what was your estimation?
I'm waiting for him to die. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he's totally dead to me, and he's been totally dead.
So you thought the guy was a complete douchebag.
Yeah.
And your what is it, sister or brothers?
Older sister, younger brother.
Uh-huh. And what's their take on it?
I don't know. For some reason, they don't think he's the worst scum on the face of the earth.
Do you think he treated you guys differently?
Yes, but that doesn't mean any of us necessarily got treated better. I think mm-hmm. he just had different ways of kind of torturing all of us.
Mm-hmm. Does that feel like sort of, what's the word, sort of like a betrayal of sorts in a way because they see it in such a different way than you?
Probably. Probably. I mean, I stopped talking to my dad originally because he was, like, insulting my brother because, like, my brother was double majoring in philosophy, classics and English, honors. Oh, yeah, he was double majoring in classics and honors English at mm-hmm. Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a B. And so my dad was, like, berating him about getting this B. And I was just like, Dad, this is literally the most ridiculous thing you could possibly be doing right now. Like, you're in jail. You're in jail.
Was your dad in jail?
Like, he was in jail when this conversation happened. So my dad is behind bars, behind bulletproof glass. We're sitting there, like, talking on the little phones in the prison. And my dad is berating my brother about getting a B in fucking honors English at fucking Cornell. I was like, you are a worthless piece of shit, and I'm never speaking to you again. And I walked out.
Whoa. And how did your brother respond to that?
We got along really well for a few years after that, and then we had a falling out.
You had a fight about your dad?
I still don't even know what the fucking fight was about.
Mm. So your dad was in jail. That's tough.
Yeah.
Do you know Cambry Cruz anyway?
No.
I saw her this week. She's the owner. Actually, she started her own place too, QED, which is a great comedy club in Queens. Fantastic comedy club. And her father also was in jail, but she wrote a book about her father was in jail for trying to kill her mother. But, you know, that's a whole other story. But, yeah, it's starting to seem normal. Well, the point I'm making is this isn't as unusual as I originally thought, having a father in jail. How did your father get in jail?
Basically the same thing. I mean, he
physical violence,
basically, like, systematically beat the shit out of every single woman that crossed his path, from, like, his mother to, like, my mother and, like, my sister and I. And so ultimately it was the girlfriend that he, like, cheated on my mother with that sent him to jail. But it was, you know, a whole slew of battery and assault.
So were you witness to violence in your home then?
Yeah.
And you saw, that's hard. That's really hard. That's fucked up. Come on, that is.
Yeah.
You know it. But how did you get to be so functional?
I went away to boarding school.
But your brother
went to boarding school too.
Oh, and what about your older sister?
She went to the private day school in Boston that had a student body of like 150 in total. So I was like, I'm not going there.
But she turned out okay?
Yeah. I haven't spoken to her in probably like 4 years because she started trying to get me to talk to my dad again really soon. And I just was like, nope. But as far as I know, she is she decided she wanted to be like a third grade science teacher, I think, and went to grad school. And I believe she's now teaching at Dalton.
Wow. So you're from a really high achieving family, I think. I mean, you've started a big darkroom. You have like a staff and people and
I have volunteers.
Volunteers. But it's like a big thing in the community. And it's also not like the kind of thing that people conventionally, it's not like starting like a dog rescue that everybody thinks, yeah, dog rescue. We need a dog rescue. It's like there aren't a lot of dark rooms, right?
No, but there are more than you would think, actually, and there are more and more popping up every day. There's one that just opened in Kansas City.
I'm thinking
about this summer planning a like road trip around North America of like dark rooms.
Oh wow, that sounds so cool!
Fun thing to do. That sounds July.
That sounds great. That sounds like a great idea, and also, I think all that stuff is really important, you know, and you know, and I saw that you spoke at, they had you in at Adorama and stuff like that.
God,
I mean,
that was so.
But you must be like,
I'm so terrible at public speaking.
You know what? You know what's so weird? I can't believe how you're way too hard on yourself. That's probably why we get along.
Yeah.
No, you know, I'm not used to anything, but, anyway, you know what? You work really hard. I will say that you have like an incredible work ethic, and I think that that is something that can get anyone with any kind of, you know, people are always expected to be salespeople about themselves, but you know, I think that actually getting the work done is probably what pushes your projects and you forward as much as anything, right?
I just feel like there's so much more I should always be doing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was just complaining about, right?
I mean, I do spend a fair amount of time just kind of sitting around, but not that much, I guess.
So anyway, so what's your mother's take on your dad?
Oh, I mean, she's had a restraining order against him for like, what, 20 years? Like 25 years?
So what's her take on like the attitude between you and your brother and sister? Like what is like the fact that you guys aren't talking and stuff like that? Like what would she say about that?
She's not happy about it. No one is particularly happy about
sure,
it.
Sure, of course.
But I think she kind of understands where I'm coming from and the fact that I feel like I spent a lot of my life just being caught in the middle between a whole lot of different people. And I feel like, honestly, like, in the last, like, 5 years or so, like, I just kind of got to a point where probably, like, 5 years ago when I started The Dark Room, presumably, I was like, this is just what I want to do, and this is, like, who I want to be, and this is, like, the path I'm going to follow, and this is just, that's that. And so that's kind of what I've been doing, and they were not very supportive.
My
siblings.
That's stupid. That's just stupid. I mean, how could you not be supportive of such a cool...
They were sort of supportive.
Do you think they were jealous or threatened?
I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know.
Doesn't matter. Like, they just weren't
no
there.
There's no point in speculating.
Yeah.
I just felt like they were just...
That's what you got out of
negativity
it.
...negativity into my life. And I feel like my life has gotten a lot better since I cut them out.
Wow. So that's really brave.
I don't know.
So do you feel like maybe you were creating in some way your own family system with The Dark Room and like
yeah, probably.
And is that like pretty grounding?
I don't know. It'd be more grounding if we like owned a building.
Talk about everybody's life. It would be more grounding if we all had rent stabilized apartments. It'd be more grounding if
the ceiling weren't leaking.
Be more grounding if we just
at least the sink is running now.
Had government grants or something. Yeah,
right.
I know. Like, financial instability is the. So one of the things that inspired us to book you on the show, we were like, oh, let's talk about this in the radio, is that we started. I was out one night at was it the after party?
Yeah.
After party for my naked performance. And we started talking about your dating, about that you were dating. And I was like, oh, this will be great on the air. Let's talk about it. And you were really like,
I was so down.
You were, oh, cool. You were really like, yeah, okay, we'll do this. And so I'm glad you're here because as I was saying to you earlier, I don't date. I mean, I don't date that I'm allowed to talk about because my husband would get really jealous if he knew about my dating life that I do once he's asleep and slip out.
Covert.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a date every night from about, you know, 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Just a different guy every night, you know, but he doesn't know about it. No, you know, whatever. I want to say my life is boring, but yeah, I don't know if it's boring. I'll tell you something. You know, I was resistant to getting married, right?
Oh, yeah.
And did you see the film by any chance?
No,
I can't remember. Yeah.
That.
We'll show it again, but that's a whole other story. But anyway,
are
there
you
was.
Show it at their new bar? Pinebox's new bar? Isn't that their new
bar? Oh, they have a new bar. Where is it?
It's like, I think it's across the street from the Dark Room. I think that's their new bar.
Oh.
What's her name? Heather mentioned to me like a year ago that they were opening.
Yeah, I know. They've been talking about it. No, I don't know. We've been trying to get it in festivals, which is why I haven't shown it, blah, 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 again, blah, 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 blah. But I was, you know, notably resistant to getting married. And I do think that one of the things that a lot of chicks, this is a stereotype about chicks, and I'm part of it, that we like romance. You know, guys want to have sex and stuff like that, which is cool. I like that stuff too. But we want romance, and that kind of being married isn't conducive to being romantic necessarily. Although my husband did buy me flowers a few weeks ago, which I put on Facebook. Did you see it?
I think so. Was that like Valentine's Day?
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
but
no, it was like random.
It was random. I think he'd been out drinking with, well, he'd been out drinking with another woman, with a female friend. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. He bought me flowers.
That's sweet.
It was really nice for no reason, supposedly. Yeah. But no. I mean, it was really sweet. But I'm just saying that, like, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. Well, you know, I mean,
a big deal when people buy you flowers, though, because it really doesn't happen very often.
No.
People don't do that.
No. And it was really sweet. I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not necessarily the most romance and being married, being with the same person for a long time isn't. Those things aren't, you know, those things don't go together well. We all know this.
Yeah.
It's not just me or Phil or any idiot.
When you're living with someone on a day-to-day basis, your relationship mm-hmm. is going to change.
Yeah, except we don't go to the bathroom in front of each other.
That's good.
I think it's so smart. It does keep it like a little bit yeah. like less. It keeps it from being like, ugh, that person's
just
gross.
Close the door.
So we have some boundaries, which has helped. But anyway, so I can't bring a whole lot of romance and intrigue to this show. So I'm excited that you're here, so maybe we can dig some up in your life and I can get a little vicarious thrill. I do talk about dating quite a bit with different people, so it's not like I have no idea, but so let's talk about what we started talking about at the bar. How's that?
Yeah, I guess that's good.
Yeah, you're dying to. No, you know, we're all very supportive of you. Let me tell you that. Let's give Lucia a round of applause at home. If you're home, give her a round. Thank you, Lucia. Thank you for being here and helping us understand how complex dating is. Yay. So what's going on?
I don't know.
Well, what were we talking about then? And it was a few weeks ago. So what were we talking about that night? Let's start there.
This dude.
Dude. Okay, well, we've established that you date guys.
Vaguely describe him without like giving too much information.
Okay, we don't want to call out the guy. We don't want to call out names. We don't want to call out. We don't want to embarrass anybody. Anybody we don't want to embarrass. Why don't you just make let's make up a name for him. And make up some of the characteristics. This is a case study, and that's what we do. Therapists, fake therapists like me, do in case studies. You change the name and a few details. Like therapists are always using their patients for case studies, and that's what we're doing. We're just changing some of the details so the person isn't recognizable.
Yeah,
totally cool. Totally ethical.
Okay.
So let's make up a name for him. I'll make up a name for him. How's that? Let's call him. Can we call him Tiger Beat?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm looking at this poster. Let's call him Tiger Beat. Okay, so you're dating this guy called Tiger Beat. I love it. Okay, Tiger Beat is. Okay, now make this up. Let's make this up. What does Tiger Beat do for a living? Make up. Make up something. Make up something that, like, will make sense to you.
Make sense to me. Well, can we pretend he's a DJ then? Because he's totally not a DJ and never would be, but that's kind of, like.
All right. Okay. Does he have a regular. Well, I want to know something. Does he have a job that he goes to,
no.
like, every day?
Well,
so,
I mean, he, like, no. He works. He, like. Builds shit and like does whatever like shit people hire him to do on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, so let's pretend he gets hired to do gigs. He gets hired to do gigs. Okay,
yeah.
So he's a DJ.
Yeah.
How old is he? How old are you? You're 20?
29.
And is he in your age range?
No, he's about 15 years older than me.
Okay, so that's truth.
So that's a thing.
Okay, he's
15.
That's
an approximation. That's give or take.
Okay, so that's and has he ever been married or anything like that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. What? Like many, many times?
I think he might still be married.
do we know that he is married?
If he is, it's like a green card marriage.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So where's he from then?
He's from New England.
Oh, it's not for him then.
No, it's not for him.
New England, isn't that part of the United States now? What year is this? 1770. Okay, so he, but he married. Did he get paid for the green card marriage?
I think so. I don't really.
I hope he got something good out of it besides just merely a blowjob or something.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I mean,
well, let me put it to you this way. When you, let's say, are you still kind of dating him? This is a few weeks ago. Is this still current?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I saw him yesterday for the first time in like a week, but only very briefly and like not in any sort of like romantic capacity.
Okay. So is he dating? I mean, okay. A few weeks ago, he may be dating other people or he may have a girlfriend or. Is he seriously involved with anyone? Do you think maybe he is?
Not as far as I can tell.
Okay, not enough to make that part of the story.
I don't think so.
Okay, we're getting the picture.
But, I mean, who knows? You never
okay,
know.
Okay, Tiger Beat. I like this guy.
He's
Tiger
DJ.
Beat, and he's like, how old is he now? He's 35 years old? Tiger Beat, cool. Tiger Beat, the 35-year-old like, DJ. 45. I love it. Love this guy. Anyway, so Tiger Beat. So what was going on? What were we starting to talk about as far as the dating experience you were having with him?
Oh, just basically like that I was having an experience wherein I was like seeing someone on a, like a repeated basis, and like I don't do that.
No?
No. And I mean also to be like seeing someone on a repeated basis who's like not particularly stable and substantially older than me, like makes me wonder about why I'm drawn to that kind of person and all that kind of stuff too. So it's like, well,
sure. Well, is that
so?
Is that
that's basically what Willow and I were talking about at the bar when you came up.
Willow Goldstein, who's one of your best friends.
I love her.
Yeah, and
she's
I mean, I love her too. I love her too.
So sad.
And she left, and we're so sad. She's leaving, but she'll be back. We'll see her again. We'll see her again. So anyway, yeah, I remember I came over to you guys because I was like, hi, I want to talk to you. I was like.
It was like the end of the party, too.
And I was like, I was just feeling like I have no social skills, but I want to like connect with these girls that I love. So I came over to you and just aggressively butted in on your conversation.
What else can we expect from you, though? It's your party.
It was funny. So anyway, so yeah, so the guy's older and he's kind of directionless, right? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, he's been through a lot and he's done a lot of different things in his life, and he was hit really hard by the crash in 2008. So like, he's just been having a rough time kind of picking up the pieces from that. So yeah, I guess at the moment he's kind of directionless.
And so is that a pattern for you?
Yeah.
Directionless guys?
Yeah.
Move your face over a little bit more towards the mic.
Okay
good.
Okay.
Good. Very good. Very good.
And into this thing.
So much better. Yes, we love it. So, I mean, of course, the obvious not elephant in the room is that your father was such a horrible example of...
Right?
Yeah, that like it's hard to imagine that you wouldn't be marked by that.
Right.
But you're young enough that we can still like it's not too late. It's not a done deal.
The problem is, like every time I try dating guys that are my age, I'm just so fucking bored by them. I was trying to explain this to someone yesterday, and it's just like fucking dudes in their 20s are so clueless.
You know, I mean, seriously, I can see why that would.
So fucking clueless.
Yeah, because you have been through a lot in your life with your family and getting yourself out into boarding school and starting your own business. And, you know, you just traveled by yourself to Joshua Tree National Park. And, yeah, I mean, I could see how that could be. For one thing, intimidating to young men, right? Is it? You think?
I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it is. Like, I just find like when I like the few times in the last few years when I've like tried to date dudes that are like around my own age, like it just gets really, really, really boring really, really, really quickly.
Yeah. No, I could see that.
I go from being, like, attracted to them to being, like, utterly repulsed by them, like, really quickly.
No,
I don't even know what does it, you know? It's like the sound of you chewing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's hard being married. That drives I've heard so much complaints. It drives everybody crazy eventually, the chewing part. That's number one. But I think also, like, you've just had a lot of real life experiences for your age, and you probably there aren't that many women who maybe even your age that you know you've done a lot for your age. No,
sometimes I feel like I have, and sometimes I feel like I haven't. I mean, there are a lot of 29-year-olds out there that have done a lot more shit than I have.
Yeah, like Jennifer Lawrence. She's only 23. She's done a lot more than you.
She's more like 25.
Oh, I don't know. Jesus.
I mean, the fact that Beyonce is like 34 makes me cry.
Yeah. Well, you know, but they started. Forget it. Let's not compare ourselves.
I started doing photography when I was 12.
Yes, exactly. And look where, yes. So, I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is really that it sounds like he's a little bit directionless, or tell me why the guy that you're dating or have been dating or was dating, he sounds like he doesn't have a shit together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, he doesn't have his shit together.
Okay. What?
That was something he would kill me for saying.
He'll never hear this. He probably doesn't even have an internet. He hasn't paid his bill. Don't worry about it. I'll say you're dating Tiger Beat, so it'll show up as that.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, he's basically, like, unmedicated bipolar and self-medicating with alcohol.
Mm.
Like, that's the simplest way I can, like, put it down. And sometimes he's really fine. Like, right now, when I saw him yesterday, like, he's got a job now. And, like, he's working, like, consistently. And, like, he seems like he's doing okay now. But, like, a week and a half ago, that was not the case.
Would he have been really drunk?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, severely depressed, you know? Like,
right.
That kind of depression that comes over you and you just, like, can't fucking move. And, like, the problem is, like, I mean, it's not a problem, but it kind of is, because, like, I can totally understand that. Because
yeah.
I totally, like, experienced that. And so, like, when he goes into that kind of, like, regressive phase, it's like, well, no, I understand what you're going through right now, and you need to just, like, get through this, you know? And, like... I'm not going to, like, sit here and, like, reprimand you and, like, tell you to get through this. I'm just going to, like, try and, like, help you get through it, like, as best as I can and, like, let you know that I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's still on you to, like, eventually pull your ass out of bed and take a shower.
So are you, like, a rock for this guy?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you can say it.
I guess that's my concern is, like,
that you wind up being a rock. Because, so here's some, like, just stupid psycho babble. I'm just going to throw this out there because it went through my head right now. But, like, so I could imagine being in your situation and wanting to date a guy that I could then fix, like my bad dad. You probably even heard this before, right? It's classic.
It's something like that. It's definitely something like that. Because, like, when I, like, think about my dad, it's like, oh, well, yeah, he was, like, sort of a provider. Like, he had a day job, but he always made it so clear that he hated his day job so much and that he thought he was a failure. And then ultimately he was a failure because he was so
violent and drunk.
Like, basically.
So it'd be cool to date a guy who was sort of like him that you could then help and fix, and then everything would turn out much better.
I was talking to my neighbor down the hall, though, like, about this guy, and he was like, the thing about that makes this guy different is, like, well, I don't know. I mean,
well, what is it? You know, to you, it's different. So
I've known him for like a year, and like we were friends, you know. And I do mm-hmm. genuinely like him as a
right.
person, and I do genuinely
right.
care about him as
right.
a person, and I do genuinely want the best for him, like just on like a purely humanistic friendship
sure.
level.
Sure, sure. You like the guy,
but like at the same time,
you like Tiger Beat. I get it.
He's a fucking sweetheart.
He's a good guy. That's great.
He's like a very, very, yeah, he's very, like,
great.
Solid and good. And,
yeah,
like,
he shows up to his DJ gigs on time, right?
When he shows up.
If he's not drunk or depressed in
right,
bed.
Like.
But you're putting a lot of energy into helping somebody that...
Well, I'm not really putting that much energy in right now. I'm just kind of, like, it's more like the fear of getting sucked into that situation.
Well, that's smart.
You know?
That's smart. So is there a pattern in your life like this? No.
Like, all the dudes that I've ever dated have just been basically, like...
disasters. Or, like, fucked up. Or, like just not people.
Unmotivated losers.
And you're so motivated.
And right. And so, like, but I also do that, like mothering, nurturing thing. Where
right.
Like, oh, yeah, come into my life. And here, like, let me, like, feed you and, like, take care of you. And, like,
right.
Sit on my couch and, like, let's hang out.
Right.
And whatever. And all of a sudden, it's
when
like,
Phil hears
shit,
about
I'm
this, he's definitely going to ditch me for you. For sure. For sure. I'm not letting. I hope he's not listening.
It just becomes this, like, automatic thing when I'm, like, in a relationship, quote unquote. Like,
you wind up taking care of the guy.
It's like this role that I adopt, which I think is part of the reason I've been so, like, reticent just in general to, like, get into, like, a relationship. Like,
because you don't trust yourself.
I just don't like that labeling, and I feel like I'm going to become someone that I don't want to be, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see how that could be a pattern. I could see how, like, that's a hard pattern to break, and I could see how that's, you know, how that's, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense that your life is really fucked up in that way.
I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot over the last, like, year or so, and it's just like, oh, yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, I relate to that with my own life, my own father problems and stuff like that. And I think it's really common. You know,
yeah.
I think it's really common, like, that we wind up falling in love with people that repeat the same patterns that are unhealthy patterns, and we're not turned on by the people
right.
that are good for us.
But then, like, how do you figure out what's good for you, really? You know, I mean,
well, I think, you know, I mean, that's hard because it's sort of like not your instincts.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Your instincts aren't good for you in a way.
But sometimes they are.
Yeah. Have you met people that you think are good for you? Or what do you mean? They're good in some areas. They're great. They
yeah.
work great. They work great.
Not
your instincts are great.
Necessarily.
Yeah, but. Your instincts are great. I mean, I would say that, like, you know, come back every week. No. I mean, it is a kind of thing, though, that it makes perfect sense and all that. And you're smart about it. You know it's a problem. You're not just accepting it. So, but I think
I'm trying to be aware of it because I feel like that's the only way to, like,
no,
impact
that's,
it.
That's great. But do you have like, I'm wondering if you have some, like, unresolved or unidentified issues about it that kind of sneak up on you. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, one of the things that occurred to me while we were talking, and you tell me, but the fact that the breakups or whatever, the estrangement, whether it's probably temporary, really, you know, you're still 29.
What?
With your brother and sister, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
those.
No,
is,
I imagine that'll be resolved one day. I mean, somebody's
right.
bound to have a baby or get married or something.
Or just people will change and develop.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of, I get the sense that you're not clear about a lot of that. Like, you're not really that clear exactly why. It makes sense that
yeah.
it happened, and there's a lot of like things
what
that
was
you're
the
just
actual impetus. Like,
yeah,
what is the real source of
right,
the
right.
conflict? Yeah, no, I
right,
have no
which
idea.
Makes me think that some of the stuff that happened with your dad, and also because you were really young and probably don't remember a lot of it, you know, I think some of that stuff must have affected you in ways that you're just not. That
oh, yeah.
clear on,
but that
right?
would take some like years
real
of
therapy.
Serious,
yeah,
like, hypnotherapy.
That's when I'm saying,
shit.
Come back. We'll talk about every detail of it.
Like unconscious mode.
Come,
like.
You'll need to come back every day.
Every
I charge $150 an hour. Yeah, once a week. Yeah, I know.
But
that's a problem
my life
with therapy.
Benefit by digging that shit up, you know? Like,
well,
yeah.
it's not necessarily that you're gonna. Benefit. It's not the digging up of it. It's just the awareness of it
yeah.
and the acceptance of it because a lot of times, like,
well, I know it's down there somewhere and that's fine with me and I'm fine with leaving it down there. So does that count as awareness and acceptance?
No. That counts as repression. Sorry.
I know it's there.
No, repression. Shit. I'm sorry. These are. So that's cool, though. I mean, the thing is, your life is really good. I mean, you have a lot of friends. You do well in life. You have a lot to make yourself happy, and you're making you're making your art. Everybody needs money, and there's a lot of, you're doing a lot of things that will, I think, help you develop personally to a place where, you'll be in more ready for a healthier relationship or a person who's going to be productive for you. I mean, I don't see any, this is all just kind of normal development from what I can tell.
I feel that way.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I just think that, some of the stuff that, you don't want to deal, that's not fun dealing with, is probably going to show up at some point or whatever anyway.
Well, I'm never going to have kids, so I don't have to worry about that.
You're sure about that?
Yeah. I'm going to get my tubes tied.
Really?
In a year or so.
Well, yeah. That's a real statement.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
There are so many reasons. There's so much mental health issues in my family.
Mental health.
That for number one reason. I don't want to bring a crazy person into the world. I don't want to bring a tortured person into the world. Also, the world is a fucking terrible place. Also, overpopulation. Also, look at me. I could never raise a child. Also, shall I really keep going?
No, but there, you are also, I wanted to say this too. You are really self-critical.
Well,
and that hurt. I get hurt. I feel bad when I hear the way you talk about yourself.
Oh,
it hurts me. No, I don't. I don't. But it hurts. It hurts me. You deserve better from you. Let's all write Lucia really inspiring. We love you, Lucia. Everybody send her
It's funny because I feel like I'm treating myself so much better than I used to.
Oh, well, that's a good sign.
I feel like I'm being so much nicer to myself than I used to be.
Oh, really? Well, that's good. How did? Yeah. So you feel? See, that's what I'm saying. You put yourself out there so you can have your own growth, which is great. And you know that the guys are not productive for you, which is good.
Yeah.
So where are you now with this guy? What's going on now?
I don't know.
Oh, I was going to also ask you this. Wait, let me just back up a bit. What about just using birth control? What about having sex? I mean, is that something? Don't you?
Oh, no. I mean, I have an IUD.
Oh, okay.
I just don't ever want to run the risk of ever having a baby.
There's something about it that makes me wonder if it's sort of, there's something sort of physically destructive about it. Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I know it's not an experience that I want to have. I felt like I had an alien inside me.
Only thing I could think was, you don't want to go through that again.
Get this out.
Yeah. So, so where are you now with this guy?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I saw him briefly yesterday.
But did you make a plan to see each other?
I might run into him again tonight.
You avoided answering that question.
He might come by the dark room later. I don't know. We'll see. But he said he might.
What's your feeling about this guy? Confused.
Yeah, especially because when he pulls his shit together, he's so fucking awesome.
Right.
And
he's fixed. When he gets fixed, he's great.
He's so
fantastic.
Awesome. And I'm just I want you to be like this all the time because you're he's happy,
Yeah.
And it's not when he's not happy, he's not himself, but it kind of is, He's a bad version of himself, and I don't like seeing people in that much pain,
Do you think there's a kind of intimacy? Does he like the fact that you sort of take care of him and make him feel okay when he's not such good shape? I mean, is that part of the dynamic?
He likes the fact that he feels like I do actually understand what he's going through.
Right.
Which I'm glad, because I do sort of feel like I sort of actually understand what he's going through. I don't think I can understand on any level close to what he's experiencing, because he's had such an insane life.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, because he's Tiger Beat.
Right.
But the thing is that part of what's going on is that you both are getting some sort of intimacy, I think, through some feeling of closeness by through saving him in a way. Does that make sense to you?
I think we're bonding over our brokenness.
Hmm.
Say, I think that's a better way to put it.
Uh-huh.
'Cause I don't think I'm saving him per se. I think I'm just kind of.
So you feel like, do you feel like he's there for you? Like what?
Yeah,
do you,
totally.
Okay. So like one of the things I was going to say
he's
is,
sweetheart.
You know, you're obviously really good to, you know, you have a lot to offer him. And what are you getting? What is he giving to you? Like he's there for you. You feel like he's there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I can call him when I need, mm-hmm. you know, somebody to like, give me a hand, or, well, I mean, I can't call him because he doesn't have a phone.
Seriously? Because he has no money?
No, because he fucking lost it in my house. I don't know how this happened, but he lost it in my house. We searched my entire house, but, like, we both saw it lying on the floor next to the bed, and then it was gone.
Oh. Well, if you can solve that, maybe we should do a whole, like, investigation over there.
It was so insane.
We need to send people over.
I mean, I did.
That's crazy. That's really crazy.
It's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. I was like, are the littles living in my fucking rafters? Like,
and it just disappeared? Like, you remember him walking in with it and then not leaving?
I remember seeing it on the floor, like, next to my bed when he was, like, passed out in my bed. And then, like, I came home. I went out to the dark room and came back a few hours later, and it was gone. But as far as I was aware, like, he basically hadn't moved.
So that is like, really weird. So there's a mystical quality to that. That's
weird.
All it is. It's really, there's some like alternative, that's proof there's an alternative universe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I did not know this, but I guess there is.
There's a black hole in my apartment.
There are black holes. You know, Einstein was right. We found that out. And so now we realize that's something that's going on in your very own apartment. Interesting. You could probably make money selling tickets to that.
Ooh. Good idea.
So we solved your financial problems. Yes. Does this guy have drug and alcohol problems? Because that's always an extra bonus if he does.
Yes. He doesn't have a drug problem, I don't think.
Okay, alcohol problem.
But I mean, yeah.
He has an alcohol problem.
To a certain degree, everyone that I know has an alcohol problem.
I'm not talking like three drinks. I'm talking like ever falling down drunk.
Sometimes.
He gets falling down drunk. Do you ever get falling down drunk? Which is fine.
I mean, I have, but not in a long time.
Yeah, that's not your habit,
that's
is
not
it?
No.
Okay.
And the thing about it is, like, it's not really his MO either. Like, he does sober up for weeks at a time, you know.
But he's capable of having. And is that, you think that's his bipolar thing going on? And is he on medication for that? And does he want to?
So, we've had that conversation briefly. He's gonna fucking kill me if he hears this. I'm gonna he's gonna murder me. we sort of had that conversation, and like I looked up like the he seems like he could be receptive to it. So I mean, if this does go to any level of, like, saving, you know, like, that's the level of saving that it would go to, where I would just be like, okay, let's go to the clinic and get you a prescription because it will make your life better. I mean, and the thing is, like I went on Wellbutrin about a year ago, and it has fundamentally changed my life.
Me too. I mean, when I started taking Prozac like over 20 years ago, it totally changed my life. I'm a big believer in that stuff.
I was so not, and then I got to a certain point where I was like, all I can ever fucking think about is how incredibly depressed I am, and like they make pills to solve that.
Right, because it is biological a lot of times, you know, because like somebody like you, your life is pretty damn good. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't, there's no reason for you to be depressed. You don't have any good reason.
Right. And like for him, it's like, well, your depression isn't doing anything except making you even more miserable, you know? It's just hurting you. And so if you could find some sort of prescription that could sort of balance you out a little bit, like you'd be okay.
Well, maybe. A lot of, is he really manic depressive? Because a lot of manic depressives don't like to take medication because they like the mania. Does he fit into that category, you suppose?
I don't think he really gets too manic.
What do you think his objection to taking medication is?
I don't know.
Have you talked about it at all or no?
Not at that
direct level.
Not to that length.
Mm-hmm. What does he say about his depression? Does he wish he wasn't depressed?
I think so. I don't know. He doesn't really talk about it when he's not depressed, and like when he is depressed, he's so depressed that he's just mostly want to kill himself.
It's a day and night type guy.
Yeah.
But is he like, if you were involved with a guy like this, like in the big picture, like is he somebody that would be destructive for you in the sense that like he doesn't maybe, you know, like the way he lives his life? I'm just trying to figure out.
I don't really think it necessarily would have to be. You know what I mean? Like, because he's not like someone like, I could still, you know, I still can very much keep my own separate life, and like he doesn't have to like infringe on my shit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
But like that's kind of the like thing that I'm like looking out for, right? Is like, can I?
That's good.
Maintain that.
Yeah. No, this sounds like you know. Also, another thing that I think is really important that I want to put out there. That is so important, I think, that I really respect about what you're doing, which is that you are involved with somebody in some way, where a lot of people who, you know, they just reject people or they don't get involved.
I've done a lot of that, and I've been doing that, and I'm, like, seriously struggling with not doing that right now.
Right, because there's no growth
in
that.
It's so much easier for me to just, like, push someone away than it is
actually
even, like, think about like, allowing someone into my life. So that's like, why I'm having all this, like, internal conflict, right?
Right.
Like,
see, this is what I'm saying. I'm hearing growth in this. I'm hearing growth. I'm hearing a lot of really sensible, in touch stuff from you that you're really intuitive about what's going on. You don't need me. You make perfect sense.
I wrote him this message the other day, and I showed it to, because my neighbor down the hall and I, like, he's one of my best friends. But I showed it to my neighbor, and he read it and was just like, oh my God, you have yourself, like, totally, like, psychologically figured out.
Have you been in therapy? Have you ever done it?
Yeah, I was in therapy for, like, 8 years, from when I was like 8 to when I was like 16.
Oh, okay.
And then I've been intermittently over the last few years, but mostly I just read a lot of like books about, well, I took a lot of psych classes in college, and my mom is like a registered psychiatric nurse. So,
oh,
like,
okay, yes.
Yeah.
So
you're
aware, yeah.
And from taking all the psych classes in college, I read a lot of psych books and learned a lot about, like, diagnoses. And then I read a couple of books that were specifically about, cognitive brain therapy? CBT.
Cognitive therapy, CBT. Yeah. That's great shit. You don't ever have to dig up your past if you just go that route.
Right. So I sort of tried doing that for
it's
a while.
It's probably smart. Yeah. So, anyway, can you believe how fast this time goes? We only have 6 minutes left. So I think that you're doing, I think it, like, that's really impressive then. I think, you know, you are having a growth experience, and it doesn't sound like really like it's, you know, dangerous. Like, you know what you're doing, and it'll develop however it's going to develop in a way that you will get growth out of. But can you just talk, like, really quickly about what it was like? I'm hearing you say that you were used to be that this is new for you, maybe, and that you used to reject people. So can you give us a picture of what that was like, what you were like in that scenario? Because this seems like development.
Well, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier with, like, just, like, shutting down and getting repulsed and just walking away.
So you mean guys would, like, approach you?
They don't. Oh.
What do you mean by that? What do we mean?
Like, if I go on, if I...
Well, who is... What do you think it's...
If I go on dates, I I was doing a little bit of like internet dating for a little sure. while there, and like I would just go on these dates, and like I just get to the point where it's like, why am I wasting, you know, 2 or 3 hours with a stranger having conversation about something I don't care about when like I don't even have the time to like see my friends, you know?
Right.
And I'd so much rather be drinking a beer with somebody that I actually like know I like.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which is why this guy is like safe, because I know I like him. So
right. Well, that all sounds good. I think you're in a really good place for your age. I'm giving you a very high grade. You get a very good grade on this. That's a weird sound, and I have no idea where it's coming from. I haven't.
Sounds like an air compressor.
I haven't touched anything. I swear to God.
I didn't move. I promise. The sign says not to touch anything. So
I haven't either. It just came on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we only have 4 minutes left. So just because we're talking about dating and you're a young person in Bushwick, and tell me, what do you think? What do you think the most common errors that women that you know make with guys, like about themselves, What do you see that frustrates you?
I have no idea.
Sometimes I think that women sell themselves short they make themselves too easy.
Girls that I know that are in relationships are in relationships with pretty awesome guys.
Mm-hmm. That's good to hear.
Most of the girls that I know are single because they haven't found anybody that's half as awesome as they are.
Hmm.
But I'm very biased when talking about my girlfriends.
Sometimes this has been time immemorial, is that women don't value themselves with guys. Do you see that? Or maybe the women that you're friends with are past that.
I think I don't actually see so much of that, like, within the relationships that, like, I am actually, like, familiar with enough that I feel comfortable giving a verdict on, but mm-hmm. there aren't very many of those relationships. There's, like, probably, like, 4 or 5 that I'm basing this statement on,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because, like, I only really would consider myself to be able to make this kind of judgment call about maybe 10 people in general, whether they're single or in a relationship.
Well, you know what? This is another check in your success box, then, in your psychotherapy success box, because you're surrounding yourself with people who are in healthy relationships or know what a healthy relationship is.
That's true.
This is great.
Wow.
This is great.
Progress.
Yeah. See, a lot of times, you know what I think? I think a lot of times people that don't give themselves enough credit, they are doing a lot better than they think, or than they present. It's true. It's a good defense. Always think like you're doing worse than you are.
Right,
I do this.
You can't be let down.
Yeah, I do that.
Like, nobody can tell you suck if you already tell them you're sucking. Like,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I like that too. Well, Lucia, I feel like I've learned. You know what? You gave me a really good feeling today. You made me feel like really positive. Yeah, I'm really really happy to hear this, and I'm really glad you were on. I think that you're obviously somebody who's working on stuff, but you're on a difficult, not really hard, but very positive road. And the most important thing is you're working on the growth.
Yeah.
You feel that, right?
I mean, it's something I guess I wanted to do, you know. I felt like I was in a bad place a few years ago, and I didn't want to be in a bad place anymore. So I started trying to get out of it.
And you got yourself out of it. And you're dating, you're on the path, which is really cool. And you know what? If you're dating a DJ named Tiger Beat, I mean, how bad can life be, right? He sounds like a cool dude. So anyway.
I think he's a pretty cool dude. Dr. Lisa gives a shit.